finally brought you here. Behold, Forge the Narrative.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host, Bale of All Souls Podcast. I'm joined by Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
Red Powell and Adam Camilleri.
What up?
Oh, good day.
I'm very sorry for us missing last week. The LVO came and went and kind of got away from us from getting a show out. We promised you some Astra Militarum list. I'm going to put some Astra Militarum list, at least one, in the show notes. So check it out if you have not already. Basically, everyone on the show is an Astra Militarum player, so we should be able to, I know we're all brewing things, getting ready for that, but we are also going to be talking about the Eldari Codex and the multitude of new Aspect Warriors, new detachments, new rules, and it is pretty good. It's pretty good.
Well, they've now taken, I was about to say, now they've got the second most available detachments, but I think Chaos Space Marines with Creations of Bile coming out might still be
Crossmas.
How many detachments did
No, Chaos Space Marines doesn't have as many as Eldar.
Yeah, Eldar's got They got eight here. They got eight.
Yep.
And then they got the Grotmas detachments and stuff like that. So yeah. Wild. Eight detachments in one book.
Nine total for Eldar, and then I'll count up. You keep going.
Thanks a lot, Games Workshop, for sending us this stuff to review and the models to look at. I've started building some. I'm pleased to report that the Aspect Warriors, they're about the same scale as the current Aspect Warriors. And so if you're wanting to add to a collection or you want them to sit side by side as new units with existing units from other things, they're about the same scale, but much crisper, much, much crisper in design, much more dynamic.
But I can't hide them behind a piece of paper anymore.
They take to contrast super well, too. So if that's something that you're interested in, these models look fantastic.
What is it about them that makes them take on just so many flats and...
Yeah, like the detail is just super crisp. And that's what contrast likes, right? It likes to settle into like really crisp, deep crevices. And then all the raised edges are super crisp as well. So it just looks fantastic.
Well, like a Space Marine armor panel, granted, it's well detailed, but it's like bigger and kind of wider and flatter. And this is on a much tighter... frame. Yeah. And so I think that to your point, it's a great point. They hug into those details. You don't get the pooling on some of the flatter, thinner surfaces, I don't think as much. Right.
Well, I did hear that about people when Contrast first came out being like, I slapped it on my Space Marines, but there's no real hiding a brush stroke on a shoulder pad on a Space Marine. I'm assuming you can't really mess it up on the Aspect Warrior.
I was going to say, if you try, you could probably mess anything up.
Mess that up. I'll show you. You, Adam.
but if you're looking to jump into Eldar, this is the time to do it. This book is incredibly dynamic. There are lots of cool things in here. You can make an argument for every single one of the detachments, and we'll go through the detachment rules. And the units are strong. They're going to be fun to use. But I think it's going to take a little practice. And part of that is because of the new battle focus army rule.
It's extensive. It's an extensive change. So fate dice are gone. They're now attached loosely in a different way to one of the detachments.
Relegated to the Seer Council.
Yeah. But the new thing is more so than the players playing Eldar, I think it's something that everyone else is going to have to get used to having done to them, because this is an aggressive, borderline gotcha army ability. Like, it's an army ability that if you don't know it's going to happen to you, could feel bad. So it behooves everybody out there to get up to date with this stuff immediately.
It's got some terms and conditions on it. So, that's one of the things if you are the opponent, you want to be familiar with what those terms and conditions are, because that it could save your life.
Correct. So, the joke was before this book came out was like, can Eldar have a bad book? Like, can they make an Eldar book that isn't like incredible for the first time since 5th edition? Because 5th edition was the last time they had a medium book. That book was okay. It wasn't spectacular. 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th edition, absolute bangers. Top tier stuff every edition for like the last two plus decades almost. This battle focus ability kind of takes center stage. So in a 2,000 point game, you'll get 4 battle focus tokens at the start of every battle round. Yeah. And then you can expend them at different times to do different things.
And so, you choose when and how you do that too. It's not that you don't go on certain units. You get to apply them how you want.
Now, what is wild about these is that on review, these abilities, which are just kind of available to every single Eldari unit, are all kind of the good to better stratagems in everyone else's detachment. So it's kind of everyone just gets access to six good things they can do every turn in addition to their stratagems from a completely different resource pool. And some of these are incredibly good. My favorite one, of course, is Fadeback. This is triggered in your opponent's shooting phase.
Let me back it up just a tad bit, because these are the battle focus rule gives you four tokens to produce agile maneuver, and those get triggered on certain things. And so you get the opportunity to in a Strike Force 2000 point game, get four. If you're playing Onslaught 6 and Incursion 2, so it gets scales with the size points of the game. And then a unit is performing agile maneuver if the ability is not already, if the unit is not already performed an agile maneuver in the same phase. And unless otherwise stated, you cannot trigger the same agile maneuver more than once per phase. So it functions similarly to a stratagem, but different.
Yeah, so essentially four times per battle round, you can do things that are equivalent to a solid stratagem. Like Swift as the Wind, plus two move. It triggers when you go to move. You know, you just pay
pretty
a point,
forward.
Plus two move. Yeah, straight up. But my favorite is, Fadeback, I was about to say. It triggers in your opponent's shooting phase just after an enemy unit has shot. One eligible unit from your army that isn't Titanic that was hit by one or more of those attacks gets to make a D6 plus one move. So you get like a built-in reactive move on your entire army after being shot for one of these tokens. And of course, you can do that, you know, more than, you know, this is just one of the four things you can do. Of course, you only do this once. It's only in the shooting phase. It's only after an enemy is shot. So this is just fantastic. And there's so much good here. There's only one here that I think is a little bit of a stinker, and that's a little bit of a stinker because it's just vehicle specific and it just lets a vehicle move D6 plus 1 inches further. Absolutely fantastic. But the other ones are just so good all the time.
Well, you think of it as cumulatively, though. So, like, you use the Swift as the Wind to go 2 inches extra on something else, and then you use the Star Engines to go something, you know, to go the D6 plus one. And, well, you know, this is something that's going to come up later. If you're about to lead into this, you might as well. But the Fleeting Shadows.
That's correct. So everyone is happy to pay a command point for this ability. Everyone's happy to pay 20, 25, sometimes even 30 points as an enhancement for this ability. And now every Eldar army just gets this. What does it do?
Until the end of the turn, enemy units cannot use the Fire Overwatch stratagem to shoot at that unit. So you trigger this when an eligible unit from your army is selected to make a normal move, advance, or fallback, is set up on the battlefield, or declares a charge.
Yep. So one unit from your army. Yeah, one unit from your army can just be immune to Overwatch pretty much the entire game. It's extremely, extremely good.
Yeah, and that's for the one token. It's situational, of course. All these are situational, such as the sudden strike when an eligible unit from your army is selected to fight. Until the end of the phase, each time a model in that unit makes a pile in or consolidate move, it can move up to 6 inches instead of three. Mm. How this will also come up again.
Yeah.
We're going through these. Opportunity seized. This is when an enemy unit ends a fallback move. One eligible unit from your army, excluding Titanic units that started the phase within engagement range of the enemy unit, can make a normal move of up to D6 plus one.
Correct. So they have two reactive moves, essentially. Two out-of-phase moves in this six-pack of abilities. And that's where the power is, I believe, trying to make use out of not being overwatched and then moving out of phase timings. It's really going to be the things that I believe people need to know about ASAP, because you can play around all of those. You can just decide to not fall back and they don't get to do it. You can just decide to, you know, make sure that the one shooting activation you have on that unit that can reactive move afterwards is your biggest shooting activation. And these are the things where I'm like, let's get this information out there, because it could hurt some feelings or it could be very player roundable.
And I like, maybe you move 16 inches. You know, with a certain unit that we'll probably discuss here in a little bit. And then, you know, then you charge and you destroy something because you've got a lot of damage three stuff. And then you consolidate 6 inches into somebody else's other stuff.
And then when they try and fall back from you, you get the hell out of there as well.
I don't see what the issue is here.
It's all like, these are, knowledge is power. So you're right. And I'm cool with there being powerful things in list. I'm just saying that this is the type of stuff that can quite literally come out of nowhere or in the terrain format that, that we're playing with, you may be used to deploying and setting up in certain ways, thinking you're kind of relatively insulated. And then there's some stuff you got to plan for. And that's why we're talking about it. I think it is cool to be powerful, but it's something that it is preventable with enough knowledge.
Correct.
Ahead of time.
Yeah, correct.
So just think about the stuff as it applies to the rest of the stuff that, that we talk about. You do get Harlequins in here. So in this, in the Codex, there are Eldari units, traditional Eldari units, Harlequin units, and then there are Drukhari units, but they are specifically Yanari Drukhari type units, and that is another way to utilize one of the detachments there, which is not the full Drukhari Codex, but it is certain units that it can be brought into a Yanari list. So really dynamic ways to play with this book.
So one thing I will say about this book and it having its 8 detachments is that there have been some other books. I think the one that sticks out to my mind is Tau, where it feels like they've left a little bit of identity on the shelf when it comes to like making a detachment for each one of the things you would characteristically think of as Tau. This has left nothing on the shelf. Everything is ticked off. There's an Eandon Construct detachment. There's a Samhain Windrider detachment. There's an Aspect detachment. There is a Guardian detachment. There is a Vehicle detachment with the Grotmas one. There's the Index detachment. There's the Inari detachment. There's a Harlequin detachment. They have like ticked every single possible box they could tick for Eldari identity.
The detachments also, you know, replicate what your traditional mindset of what the craft worlds were, like the identity of the craft worlds.
So I was hoping Adam was going to keep trying to tie all the craft worlds together to the detachments so I could pick it apart, but he stopped halfway through.
It did. Well, so the Guardian one is Ulthway.
Okay.
Black Guardians, you know, Eldrad. Yes, I did Samhain, Beltan for the aspects. Eandon for the constructs.
Constructs, yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure there is one for the psychic one. That's not a specific psychic.
There is a Seer Council in here. Oh, you mean a Seer craft world?
But which craft world is that? I mean, if Red doesn't know, you can't use it against me. That's right. Yeah, yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
No, I think it's the one that
Ulthway, right? With the one with Eldrad.
Eldrad is a big deal, but I agree with the Guardians being allocated to that.
Be more like the Guardians.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
You don't think so? I thought that was kind of their thing. They had Storm Guardians. That was like their big thing.
Oh, they do. They do have the Black Guardians, but they're also, I think, Seer Council.
Yeah, Tanya's, kind of stuff. And Tanya's just sitting here like, dup da dip dup dum da 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 dum da ba doop dup deep dup da da dup.
And we're talking about elves with some space brains.
Yeah.
The only lore that I'm really ever up on is like Imperial lore. I'm not even that like well-versed in orc lore, to be honest. But
for good reason.
My goodness.
Well, they have two good pieces of like two oh, good, here we go. Two good orc lore.
All right, we're gonna stay on topic. Let's talk about that. Yeah. We got all these attachments. We want to talk about some of the detachment special rules. The War Host is a good. So this is a bit of the catch all. Has some of the you might kind of associate with the Eldari today.
This is the Index attachment, and as we know, the Index attachments usually change when they get their Codex transposed. So many of the enhancements and stratagems here are the same as you would remember, but the army ability has changed because they just decided that one reroll to hit, one reroll to wound was, I don't know, pretty good.
So some of these, because there are so many, and then for the interest of time, we're going to kind of cover like the bulk of that and then highlight some of the enhancements that stand out or maybe units that might go well on these things and then a stratagem or two. But the detachment rule for the War Host is at the start of the battle round, you receive one additional battle focus token. And then each time a unit from your army performs a swift as the wind agile maneuver until the end of the phase, add an additional 1 inch to the move characteristic of models in that unit. And each time a unit in your army performs an agile maneuver that involves rolling a d6, add 1 to the result.
So everything's just a little bit more flexible and you get to do an additional battle focus ability agile maneuver every turn. It's actually pretty good. It's actually quite good.
Lightning fast reaction is in this suite of stratagems.
Yeah, see, I was kind of of the opinion that lightning fast reaction should be Eldari's armor contempt and should be in all of them.
Well, look, I mean, it's a very powerful ability. Subtract 1 from the hit roll. So, I mean, I can see folks, you know, because of the battle focus and the flexibility there, the extra movement, see folks still, you know, wanting to play with this. The Phoenix Gem in this one, same thing.
Yep.
2+, well, get back up.
Yep. Fire and Fades in this one as well. And Fire and Fades amazing because when you couple it with the fact that you have two other out of phase maneuvers available to you, and all of a sudden within this detachment you have three, it becomes really, really tricksy, really hard to nail down.
Jumping forward to the Wind Rider host.
Oh dear.
This is a powerful. This is most likely the for if folks already have a bunch of mounted units, Esrani mounted units, they're probably going to immediately jump to this detachment. It is pretty strong.
So they get uppy downy, as it's been colloquially called. It's two units in a 2,000 point game, and luckily, thank and praise be all of the Omnissiah goodness, none of the units that you can take up and put back on the table have deep strike. It's going to be conventional reserves, which is the big counterplay to this army and to these abilities. But wait, that's not all. there is more. Wind Riders gain battle line, so you can take six units of Wind Riders in this army, and you are going to want to take more than three. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that six is the right number, but like, oh my lord, you can make them so very, very, very strong.
So it gets that's not all.
No, it's not. I left one for you. I left one for you, mate.
For the purposes of setting up Asarani mounted or Viper units from your army on the battlefield, treat the current battle round number as being one higher than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty huge.
Massive. Massive. Luckily, the enhancements for this detachment are relatively mid, which is very good. There's a Scout 9 enhancement. There's a permanent minus 1 to hit enhancement. I think that's actually quietly one of the better ones. And then there is a, you know, anti-monster, anti-vehicle one, but it's just for a psychic weapon on a mounted psyker. Though, so
did you mention that there's a limit to the number of units that do get that ability? It's like in the end of your opponent's turn, select, you know, it's up to two for strike force 2,000 points.
Yeah, right, which is less than many other equivalents, like which is less than Grey Knights, less than the Blood Angels, and now the same as Canoptic, Hyperphase Necrons. So usually it's three. So they've seen that this is going to be very powerful and made it two instead. And I still think it's extremely powerful. But the real power in this is in the stratagem. The stratagems are cracked.
What's your favorite? I'm sorry, I jumped in on that.
I don't think there's a wrong one. So this list is going to be Wind Riders and Shining Spears with some accoutrement of assistance from Harlequin Bikes. That's the Skyweavers.
Skyweavers, pop transports and things like that with the Haywire. Yeah. So, you know, maybe hit some of the things that other Strength 6 really isn't the best at.
Yeah, so this detachment only benefits Mounted and Vipers specifically. Nothing else will get anything from this army. The best one, in my opinion, Death on High. This is the one you're going to slap down every turn. One CP, you're shooting or fight phase, one Mounted or Viper unit from your army that will set up on the battlefield from reserves this turn and has been selected to shoot or fight. Re-roll to wound. Yeah, baby. One CP, rerolls to wound. And when you're dealing with an army that operates almost exclusively in the strength 5 to strength 7 range bracket and melee bracket, although you do have some anti-vehicle, anti-monster goodness on things like Star Lancers, etc., this is an extremely, extremely valuable thing because you'll get your scatter lasers and your shuriken weaponry on your Wind Riders to just kind of be able to kill anything in the game.
This is one of those codexes that, you know, I read through and I'm like, oh, that's a really powerful ability, you know, and then you go and look, it's the same ability it has in the index, you know, but it didn't necessarily have like a home. But these detachments give some of these units better homes now. So it's going to kind of an excuse to revisit some.
I can just kind of TLDR all these stratagems for you very quickly. And by the end of me TLDRing it, you're just going to be like, wow, they have everything. So yeah, one CP rolls to wound. One CP after you kill a unit, shooting or fight phase, move 7 inches. So this is like Soul Burst that we remember from days of let's not go back there. We're traumatized still. One CP, advance and charge, fall back and charge, fall back and shoot. So one CP, do whatever you want. Fantastic on bikes. One CP, 6-inch arrive from reserves instead of, well, it's listed as 3-inch here, but we know they're all 6-inch now. One CP plus one AP, which is so strong on these profiles. And then the last one is Spiraling Evasion. One CP, 4 plus invulnerable save. So they have one CP strats to increase their damage. They have one CP strats to make themselves more tricksy, more hard to lock down by reactive moves. The one CP to increase their durability, and one CP to negotiate being screened out. They kind of have it all. And this is, like Paul said already, I think this is the strongest detachment here. And I'm worried. I'm concerned. I'm fearful.
So that overfight stratagem is the one command point that you were talking about. That is, your shooting phase or fight phase just after an Asrani mounted unit from your army destroys a unit. There's some very powerful things that can destroy units in here, like Shining Spears, like you were just talking about. You can make a normal move up to 7 inches. So you do it in the shooting phase, move 7 inches closer to a charge target, and then
declare a charge.
Then charge. Yeah. Like it's.
Yep.
That's it's, big.
Yeah. This thing feels to me a lot like 8th edition Double Spear Yunari. If anybody remembers back in those days, this feels like you kind of just get to have it all.
So it is gonna be one to watch. It does benefit only the mounted units, but there's mounted characters. There's enough mounted support. Yeah. Vipers are gonna get a new lease on life too. I think we'll see more of them than we have in the past.
Well, they're very cheap now. They just got a reduction in the. Will this be coming out after the points?
I think so, but let's just
I think the points are I think it's coming at the same time. Anyway, the points for Vipers are pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you what they are just in case, but
just in case
Vipers are attractively pointed. But wait, there's more. This codex keeps going. It's not like it just stops here.
The next one is the Spirit Conclave, and this is the one that. Basically, the war construct, the Wraith construct stuff. And I think they actually took a bit of a hit on the Wraith construct stuff because the max squad size is now 5 those instead of 10. And so any type of, I guess, enhancement or whatever is going to affect models.
Well, you can't Death Star them anymore. And if you could have 10 model units in this detachment, you could legitimately make some Death Stars. So I think it is actually a correct choice because whilst I don't believe this detachment is one of the strongest in the book, I think there are ways that this detachment is very good, especially things like team play. I think this detachment's quietly pretty powerful.
Yeah, and if it was like 10 of everything, you might feel a little bit differently.
It'd be pretty yuck, mate.
So the Shepherds of the Dead, each time an Asrani Psycho model from your army is destroyed by an enemy unit, the unit gains the Vengeful Dead token. Each time a Wraith Construct model from your army makes an attack that targets a unit with one or more Vengeful Dead tokens, add one to the hit roll and add one to the wound roll, so that is powerful.
What I love about this, though, is you just incentivize to take, like, single Warlocks and just, like, run them at your opponent. Because they're quite cheap, and just like, I'm gonna go do my area denial with a single Warlock.
On a jet bike. It's like, get up there and
you can kill it very easily. But do you want to? And what do you want to kill it with? Because whatever you kill it with, I'm gonna absolutely annihilate when I get the chance.
While a Wraith Blade, Wraith Guard, or Wraith Lord unit from your army is within 12 inches of this model, that's a Spirit Guide aura. Psyker models get the Spirit Guide aura.
Yeah.
This model unit has the battle focus ability, so you get to use those battle focus tokens from the stuff we talked about above.
Yeah, and apologies if we forgot to tell you that they usually don't affect cons.
Sure, that would have been very important.
Yeah, yikes.
Look, there's a lot here. Right? We're also very excited. Like, I'm excited. I have a huge Eldari army that I've been collecting for a long time. It is the Eldar. My second army, technically, because I started with Harlins back in first edition. I was a big fan of some Eldar. Like, well, we're out of Eldar. We had these Harlequins. Like, well, I guess I'll buy those.
Yeah.
But over the years, you still like it, and cool to get some more life. The next detachment.
I was just going to tell you one or two of the strats that I like.
Oh, sure. Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Wraithbone armor, -1 damage, 1 CP, 1 Wraith Const. Yeah, 1 Wraith Construct to the end of the phase. So, way better than your Armor of Contempts, way equivalents now. 1 CP can be used on any Wraith Construct, not Titanic. So, and while I do actually think this detachment is quite good for a Wraith Knight still. There's another one, 1 CP, 1 Wraith Blades or Wraith Lord or Wraith Knight unit from your army. Until the end of the phase, merely weapons equipped on models and unit have devastating wounds. And that, I think, is one of the key abilities of this army.
And we're glad that it's a 5-person mint. So.
exactly dang right, brother.
This is in the fight phase, but it's all that stuff stacks up to be pretty good. Next attachment is the Guardian Battle Host. With the special rule, defend at all cost. Each time a Dire Midger, Guardian, Support Weapon, or Wallwalker model from your army makes an attack, if that model's unit and or target unit are within range of one or more objective markers, add one to...
Now, so this is very different from other such abilities. I mean, the Renegade Raider's ability for Chaos Space Marines is just if the unit you're attacking is on an objective. This one is if you are as well. So it's actually pretty... It's actually quite a bit better. Because, if you just hug all the objectives with your entire army, your entire army's plus one to hit all game. It doesn't matter if your opponent is good and or talented enough to dodge the objectives, which a lot of people are quite good at doing now. I know playing against Star Shatter, Renegade Raiders, a lot of these other ones, I was just like, well, I don't put any of my good units on objectives. I'm going to make you come out and expose yourself to kill my crap units on your objectives, and then I'm pick up your good units in exchange. This one doesn't care. This one's just good all the time.
Now, interesting enhancement here where the Craft World's champion goes on an Astronomy model. The bearer has the objective control characteristic of 5. You know, you often see like here, 1 or 2, you know, is not flipping an objective, but that's pretty nice. You have an option of putting it on some of these fast moving characters if you want to get up there and do something.
I like the Ethereal Pathway enhancement a lot, though. Like 2 units of Guardians from your army just get infiltrate. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, put 4 melt guns in there. That's
ain't just bad. Just get the game going quick, jam your models on objectives ASAP, and make your opponent do something about it.
So things you can do to Guardian squads that you could not do before, I think, well, the way it's different. You can add support weapons to them now, like the big old support cannons to them.
Yeah, not just the baby guns, not just like the star cannon and stuff like that.
So add the, but they get their shields or star cannons or whatever, and then you can get the other weapons to them. So it's like there's add more unit or add more wounds. I think it's actually pretty strong. If you're going to be doing that, especially with how the terrain, like how the tournaments, you know, are the match play terrain setup and objectives typically work out, having units with this ability and that may discourage people from coming closer to are always a benefit.
Yep, agreed.
Guardians and Storm Guardians, I think you can make a case for them. And so if you're a Guardian enthusiast, it's a good time. Of course, there's also Dire Avengers. Next one that we're going to talk about is the Guardians of the Webway.
Harlequins.
Yeah, the Acrobatic Onslaught. Each time a Harlequin model from your army makes a charge move, it can move through enemy models. Pretty good. And then traveling players, troop units from your army gain the battle line keyword, and troop models and units have an objective control characteristic of 2. That could be big. And then also you can include up to 3 of each of the following models in your army. Death Jester, Shadow Seer, or Troop Master.
I really wish, so my only regret is I really wish there was something in here to make Harlequins hit a little harder as their army rule, but they have abilities in here that makes their damage output much more significant. But I wish it was an army rule, like on the charge, they go through models with like, I don't know, +1 strength or something. Mm. But yeah, this is a good detachment though. They've done Harlequins quite well with
One of the enhancements, the Murderer's Jest, Death Jester model only. Each time the bearer makes an attack that targets a unit that is below half strength, each successful hit roll scores a critical hit.
Auto freaking take. And then Mistweave is the other one. Mistweave is the other one I think is really good. Shadow Seer model only. The model's unit has infiltrators. So you just use it on, put on a Shadow Seer. Shadow Seer joins a max unit of troop, and they just start right up the board, right in position, ready to get stuck in.
The next one here is the Devoted of Ennead.
The Devoted you need.
Not the ones you want, the ones not you
the
ones need.
Ones you need.
This is strong. This is a very strong detachment. Yeah, probably, arguably, we were talking about it before we started rolling cameras, is the second or third strongest detachment in our opinion.
It's arguably the strongest detachment rule. Like detachment ability, I think this one is probably this is right up there. Give us the lowdown.
You can use the following rules. Strength from death is the rule. Lethal intent. At the end of your opponent's shooting phase, if one or more Yunari units from your army were destroyed this phase, select one Yunari unit from your army, excluding Titanic units. They're pretty good about saying no Titanic. That unit can make a normal move.
Yep. And when you add that into all the other out of phase moves you can do, it's a lot. And there's more.
Lethal Surge. Once per turn, when a Yunari unit from your army performs the Fade Back Agile maneuver, it can make a Lethal Surge move instead of a normal move. If it does, roll a d6 and add 1 to the result. That unit can be moved a number of inches up to the total. When doing so, those models can be moved within engagement range of the enemy unit that just triggered the Agile maneuver.
Correct. So they get essentially a blood surge. And then lastly, lethal reprisal, at the start of the fight phase, just pick a Yunari unit from your army that's below its starting strength, so just one model dead or one wound taken on a multi-wound. You just get fight first on that unit. It's such a good package. You got three premium abilities that you can do every turn. And then, of course, it tells you what you can take. You can include Yunari units in this army, even though they don't have the Asurani keyword. Asurani units, excluding Epi Heroes, gain Yunari keywords. And you must include Yavrain and or the Yinkan in your army, and one of them must be your Warlord. And I can tell you right now,
no problem.
Unfortunately. Sorry?
I said, no problem.
Yeah, but it's going to be Yavrain.
Yeah,
the Yinkan has taken some significant changes, which I think is going to take people back to the drawing board on it, at least in the short term.
So some of the stratagems here that, you know, anything that adds to movement, anything that adds to the stopping power, like I give you a trick, always something to watch out for. Being able to sticky objectives is also the, you know, kind of things that not open to everybody, although there are, it is present in the game right now. When you are potentially including this in an elite force, I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. So the Pall of Dread, 1 CP, select one of those objective markers. That objective markers remains under your control until your opponent comes and gets it from you. So
one of the ones I really like is Macabre Resilience, which is just -1 to wound. Like when you are targeted in the shooting phase or the fire phase, you can just, you know, infantry or mounted units that aren't red constructs, just -1 to wound. It's really powerful. And then also they have emissaries if you need in the fight phase, just after your infantry unit from your army has been selected as targets. At the end of the phase, each time model unit makes an attack, reroll hit roll of 1. If you're below starting strength, you can reroll the hit roll instead. And then the last one I really like is, and this one is especially, I really, really, really like this on Dark Reapers, because I think Dark Reapers are exceptionally good again. At the end of your opponent's shooting phase, one Yunari from your army, if one or models in a unit was destroyed, you can shoot as if it was a shooting phase. One
death
CP.
Answers death. That's the name
one
of that.
One CP. Yeah. You lose a model, you shoot again. Absolutely spectacular.
Yeah. That is, it's nice. Being able to shoot with missile launchers is pretty good. Next one here. This is the Seer Council. We told you there's a lot of detachments. After we do it, due to the detachments, we'll take a quick break and come back and talk about some of the special characters that are present.
Yeah, so the Seer Council is where we have found our Fate dice kind of existing. So they have the Strands of Fate ability, but instead of you having, you know, you roll your dice and they can be exchanged for dice in the game, they can be exchanged for CP uses of associated stratagems. That's correct, yeah?
Yes. So the Fate dice, you roll them and then you can use them. Each time you use one of the stratagems, that are opposite. If your Fate dice pool contains one or more Fate dice showing the corresponding value in that table below, you can discard one of those corresponding Fate dice if you cost it of that usage stratagem by 1. So if that makes sense, you basically get discounts by your corresponding roll of your Fate dice.
When I first read this, I was like, oh, wow, if these stratagems are really, really good, this thing is going to be gassed up crazy. And then went through the stratagems, I'm like, they're all pretty mid.
But they're all, you get them all for free. So basically, they're all 1 CP. So you basically get them at heavily discounted because they're what they are. You just have to have the Fate cover you want. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like you double the amount. You basically can double your CP reserves situationally. And if it happens to, if the Fates go your way, then it's all going to line up.
Yeah, correct. And of course, there's enhancements to let you adjust the numbers on those dice, you know, when you expend them as well and do other little bits and pieces. Quality of life improvements.
Yeah, and like here's one, Fate Inescapable. One Asurani infantry unit from your army, no Wraith Constructs, that has not been selected to shoot this phase is within 9 inches of one or more Psyker. Until the end of the phase, range weapons equipped by models in this unit have the Ignores Cover ability, and each time a model in your unit makes an attack on a critical wound, improve the AP by 1.
Just good.
That's not bad for 1 and or 0.
Yeah.
Forewarned. One infantry non-Wraith Construct that was selected to the target of one or more attacking units and is 9 inches of a Psyker. Until the end of the phase, each time an attack targets your unit, subtract 1 from the hit roll and subtract 1 from the rune roll. So like a double hit, again, for 1 CP. Now, these are the kind of stuff I think that if you are playing things like you've built these kind of layers of tankiness and support, you might be able to win an attrition against your opponent. Next detachment here. Again, they keep on coming. And this is the one near and dear to my heart, I'll tell you why in a second, but it's the Aspect Host. The Path of the Warrior. Each time an Aspect Warrior, Warriors, or Avatar of Kane unit from your army is selected to shoot or fight, select one of the following abilities for it to gain until the end of the phase. Ability 1. Each time a model in this unit makes an attack, reroll hit rolls of 1. Each time a model in this unit makes an attack, reroll the wound rolls of 1.
This is just good.
I shouldn't say.
This is just great.
Each time you make an attack, reroll a hit roll of 1. Each time you make an attack, reroll a wound roll of 1.
Sure.
Yeah. This is just good. And everything else that is contained in this detachment is also just good. We estimate this is the second or equal second best detachment in here after possibly the Wind Riders. But this is just everything that you like about Eldari. Like, all the units that you like about Eldari are extremely good in this detachment, because 3/4 of the people that I know who like Eldari like it for one or two of the Dissonant Aspect Warriors and their fluff and their flavor and their models. And all the Aspect Warriors are teed up to the 11 out of 10 in this detachment. In fact, just like every enhancement, the Shimmerstone is the enhancement that I think is just the auto take here. So Ortak Wade Leaper model only. While the bear is leading a unit of Aspect Warriors, each time a ranged attack targets a unit, -1 to wound. Is anybody like, oh, I wonder if that's good? No, it's freaking amazing. You just slam.
It matters too, because your toughness 3 most of the time. You exactly. Know, so it's right. Not like
exactly. So yeah. It's just an incremental increase in durability versus every single target that could possibly be shooting you. It's not -1 to wound if their strength is higher. So strength 3 weapons wound you on 5s. It still reduces that. And essentially everything up until strength 6 wounds you on 4s at a minimum. Like, so it's very, very strong.
Yeah, get out of here, Laz Guns.
Yeah, essentially, like, you windmill slam this on 10 Dark Reapers, keep them at the back of the board, and then worst comes to worst, you're -1 to wound. If you can't keep your fire and fade, sorry, they don't have fire and fade, you know what I mean? Like, they shoot you once, you back off through the wall, and that time that they shoot you once, you're -1 to wound, then you come back out next turn, do some more shooting. Yeah.
I do like this. This is the also like the detachment of Beltane, which is...
It is. But it's yeah, exactly right. It's also the detachment of the Avatar of Kane. And we all know how many people are playing Eldar for the Avatar. And he gets...
Avatar is awesome. Well,
the Avatar gets their own special, spicy, just for them, just all their own stratagem called Doom Inescapable. It's 1 CP in your shooting phase. One Avatar of Kane model in your army that has not been selected to shoot. And to the end of the phase, your model's Wailing Doom range weapon has a range characteristic of 18 and a damage of 8. And this thing hits on 2s, and you can choose to reroll 1s. Or if you needed to or if 2s is good enough for you, and you want to spend a CP if you roll a 1, you can just have it wound on 3s, rerolling 1s instead with damage 8. I think it's hilarious.
That seems pretty good.
It's fun as hell. I like it.
Yeah. This is going to be a good detachment, especially when you start looking at the Aspect Warriors as well. I'm a big fan of like the Court of the Young King, to where, you know, the Exarchs wake up the Avatar and go into battle that way. So I'm going to definitely get into the first runs, looking and trying out some of Aspect Warriors and maybe a new Phoenix Lord. You know, we'll talk about that in just a second. This is just going to be, if you're an Eldar fan or looking to get an Eldar, this is absolutely amazing. But we're going to take a quick break, get a word from our sponsors, and come back and talk about some of the units and how that's what we expect them to work. See you in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back! Phoenix Lords, both present and unaccounted for. And look, let's just address it. Let's jump right into it. The Corandros is not in this book as a model. Corandros is mentioned in the lore, but not present as a model and not present in the rules section for Phoenix. I don't know. I don't even want to speculate to what that. I had ideas about the lore. I did, but it's all just speculation. You know, Drazar's not in this book either. You know, coincidence?
Is that like, you never seen me and Batman in the same room? You never seen Corandros and Drazar in the same room together, right?
There's still 6, though. The number of Phoenix Wards didn't change. Maybe just the cast.
I feel like they've got a number on a whiteboard, and every time they add to that number, they must subtract. And they're like, well, we're adding a new one, so which one has to go?
Be curious as to, you know, what that means. But again, don't want to speculate, but it's just wanted to point out it's not there, which I do find interesting. And hopefully we get more insight into why that is the case sometime in the future. But there are some of the Phoenix Lords that are better. I think Asherman is better, right?
Asherman is fantastic in this army. It comes with his baked-in move, shoot, move. So just on his data sheet, it says, whilst it's leading unit in your shooting phase, after it's shot, you can move again. Of course, you can't charge afterwards. He's still very good in combat with six attacks at 6-3-3 with devastating wounds, and shoots very well with assault and pistol with six attacks at 5-1-2. And then once per battle, you can supercharge those attacks and go anti-infantry 3+ with devastating wounds and just, wow, shred.
That's pretty good. He comes with devastating wounds on the sword too. Like, I think you mentioned that.
Yeah,
that's correct. Really big. Because you are defending a unit that is, you're going to be shooting, you're going to be doing all these move shoot things.
Yeah.
And then when you finally get engaged, you know, chop something up with a damage 3 weapon, mm-hmm. which is pretty dang good. And that's the tactical acumen that they've got in the Hand of Assyrian, which is pretty good, and can of course lead Dire Avengers. This is the Phoenix Lord of the Dire Avengers. Baharoth. Also, I think we're going to be seeing new model. Going to be seeing some folks take Baharoth. The new, I don't talk briefly about the new Swooping Hawks. I know we talked about the Aspirant Warriors and how they are pretty much the same scale, but they're all, like, you know, posed a little bit differently, and you get some customization around, you know, how you want to equip them. And, you know, that includes things like scatter lasers on the Exarch, and which I think is pretty good. Scatter lasers, I think, is going to be a good weapon in this edition. That's not necessarily a new thing, but I think we'll see the volume of fire be important to people. But Baharoth being able to lead and get a new model for a unit that is, you know, maybe you're going to want to play because of the mobility. I think we'll see him. And that's the Cloud Strike ability. While this model is leading a unit at the end of your opponent's turn, if that unit is not within engagement range of one or more enemy units, you can remove it from the battlefield and place it in strategic reserves. In addition, while this model is leading a unit, when that unit is set up on the battlefield using Deep Strike ability, it can use this ability. If it does, that unit can be set up anywhere on the battlefield that is more than 3 inches horizontally away from all enemy models. Of course, we know that is different, but is not eligible to charge. You don't want to charge, but you are still coming down kind of precision with a large volume of shots. I do want to point out, though, that these are not, I think they're on the 32 mil bases, not the 28, so it might be, you might be doing smaller units of Swooping Hawks. You know, maybe we're expecting before to get this ability to go off. Then Cry of the Wind, each time this model is set up on the battlefield until the end of the turn, each time this model makes a ranged attack, a successful unmodified hit roll scores a critical hit.
Pretty spicy. So his damage output has gone up quite a bit, but he's had a bit of a rule swap with the dice. The dudes, the guys, the ones, that stuff.
Got Fury of the Tempest on the range weapons, assault and lethal hits. So 24-inch range, 4 attacks, hits on 2, strength 6, neg 1 AP, 2 damage. So that critical hit is significant for that.
I would really like to talk about Jayne Zarr and Howling Banshees. So for the longest time, they kind of haven't done anything. It's been struggle street for both of that unit. I think that unit is now very good. What were you going to say, Red?
I mean, Banshee masks turning off Overwatch for a few editions there were pretty big.
I meant this edition. Like, this edition, Banshees and Jayne Zarr have been a bit of a joke as a combat unit.
But there's been narrow windows where you felt comfortable throwing Howling Banshees on the table.
Correct. I think they are the... So I think you can take, of course, Striking Scorpions. There is no Commander, so Striking Scorpions just what they are. I think you can take Swooping Hawks without Baharoth. I think you can take Fire Dragons without... et cetera, et cetera. You can take Dark Reapers without Mugen. I reckon Banshees and Jayne Zarr are like Mugen? Freaking locked
we'll
in.
We'll get to that later. We'll get to that
whatever.
Later.
I think Banshees and Jayne Zarr are absolutely locked in as a combo. I think they go together so well. So Jayne Zarr gives auto advance 6 and ignore all distance modifiers, like ignore all penalties for moving up and down stuff. And Howling Banshees have advance and charge. So they're just going to go 14 inches with Jayne Zarr and declare a charge. And we know you can give them +2 move for a battle focus ability, so they're going to go 16 inches and declare a charge. And now in combat, they're a little bit better. So they've got, you know, each one of them exists with a Banshee Blade, which is 2 attacks at strength 4 AP 2 damage, which is quite a bit better. And then, of course, Executioner, all that stuff. But Jayne Zarr, she shreds, absolutely shreds. Her second ability, apart from the auto 6 advance, is each time this model makes an attack that targets a character unit, reroll the wound roll. Can't remember if she had that before that. But she had 8 attacks at strength 6, AP 3, 2 damage, anti-infantry 3+. So she is a murder beast and, of course, fights first as well, just to be the little cherry on top.
8 attacks, neg 3 AP, damage 2. I mean, you're going into Marine.
She's a Marine, nothing. Marine blending machine. Yeah, big fan. And not very expensive either for the combination. If you wanted to just take five Banshees and Jayne Zarr, pretty good price point.
The next one I want to talk about is Lycus. This is the brand new...
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
We said all sorts of silly things before we started recording this.
I don't think Lycus is completely out... We don't like Lycus.
No one should ever get on anyone for mispronunciation from reading. So
we need to know how many syllables there are in it. Is it Lycus?
Lycus is good one. Yeah. Maybe that's
they should have an enunciation section of this codex, just a whole double spreadsheet of this is how you say this.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean,
but this is for the warp spiders. Warp spiders is not traditionally. I don't ever hearing about the lore either. So, y'all correct me in the comments. Tell me how I'm wrong in the comments. But I got some great ability here. So let's actually go over everything. Since amazing model. I actually just built this model. It's a little tricky. I'll show it off. These are my Wraith bases here. But awesome model. Assembling the kind of the spectral web and then putting Lycus on that, slightly tricky, but you know, the instructions actually tell you how to do it. So if you just read the instructions that like you're crazy excited, you know, like, like
what size is that? What size is that base? He looks way bigger than 40, I thought he was.
40 mil.
On a 40. Yeah. It looks massive.
I mean, just gorgeous, gorgeous model, with all the stuff about war spiders that you would imagine, and absolutely, yeah. She picks apart her victims at close quarters before vanishing again into the web of the warp. So move 12, this is base move 12, toughness 3, 2 plus save of the 4 plus invulnerable save, 5 wounds, lead 6, OC of 1. The range weapons, and we'll talk about why this is even better soon, the Brood Twain, ignores cover, torrent, twin linked, 12 inch range, D6 plus 3 attacks, Strength 6, neg 2 AP damage 1.
Mm.
And this is one of, I'll go ahead and read the special rule now for Art Rico, the best, but as the Whispering Web. In your shooting phase, after this model has shot, select one enemy unit hit by one or more of those attacks. Until the end of the turn, each time a friendly Eldari model makes an attack that targets that unit, an unmodified hit roll of 5 plus scores a critical hit.
So it supercharges the rest of the army, can move infinity inches in a lot of ways, because of course can be attached to warp spiders, and the flicker jump ability is just move 24.
24 is good. While this model is leading a unit, that unit is eligible to declare a charge in a turn in which it has used its flicker jump ability. So, you know,
this is
basically
huge.
Get up there, shoot, enable stuff for the army, then charge using the spider's fangs and the weave render. The weave render is 5 attacks, hits on 2, string 6, neg 2 AP, 2 damage apiece, and then the spider's fangs are extra attacks, another 5 attacks with lethal hits, hitting on 2s, string 4, neg 2 AP, 1 damage. And then also, I'd like to point out that Whispering Web is until the end of the turn.
Phase.
So
I just saw that, man, had to go back and like, it's just shooting phase, right? I'm like, oh my god, it's the end of the turn.
No, this,
so
leap you can use this crit fives, oh, wow. Is
you can
is
use
like
it to pop off.
Hi, my name's Lycus. I'm new here. Let me just take some squads away from you.
Let me just end your day.
Yeah. So I expect to see this character, and I expect to see some warp spiders. If only for a blade of this character. Like, is it be all end all? Like, I don't think it's too powerful, but I think it's awesome.
So,
powerful.
Lycus or Lycus, whatever, doesn't actually have flicker jump. So it will not be moving 24 inches in and of itself. She will need to be joined to wolf spiders to jump around.
Yeah.
So it actually is interesting that they've decided, because honestly, if she did have flicker jump on her thing, you would not take wolf spiders. It would just be solo activator for the rest of your army, and that would be silly. It's you want to see these guys with their aspect warriors.
I can agree on all points. You know, probably some elegance in the internal balance, but this is going to be a character that will play, not just because she's new. Like, she's new, and that would be an instance of making folks warm. And then of course the warp spiders getting new models when they haven't for what, 30 years, 30 something like if we measure things in increments of the Dark Eldar Codex, in like 2.5 Dark Eldar Codexes from the original release, that's how long the warp spiders have been around in that same model. They hold up still, but you're going to want the new ones, and you're going to be playing this character. Absolutely awesome. Mulgan Ra is the next one.
It's Mugen.
Yeah, I don't know it where is you got
not,
Mugen. I don't
even it is not that. Mugen.
It's like I'm not sure of a lot of things, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
That yeah,
100% Mugen.
By the way, I looked it up. Google's not sure about Lickus either. It's it's not settled. But
well, I'm sure.
I agree with you, Paul. Mulgan Ra.
Sure. It's a moo. It's definitely MOOGAN.
Oh, so the Mogatar is still 36 inch range. I really wish it was longer range.
Look, I'm gonna save us some time. He's still the worst one with the best model, and it annoys me.
Oh my gosh, I know.
So yeah. You were talking about doing that trick with Dark Reapers, you know, and so you know, with attaching Mulgan Ra to Dark Reapers. You know,
he doesn't do anything. He doesn't enhance the Dark Reapers at all. Like he doesn't add anything.
He's another shoot. He's when they lose a model, you shoot that unit, and he's with them.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he shoots good. Like he's ignores cover, devastating wounds, 6 shots at 7/2/2. Like he shoots good, but like you just take more Dark Reapers instead. It's annoying. Yeah. It bothers me that's my like synopsis.
He causes battle shock test.
Like the best. The best Nightbringer model they could ever make. That's my synopsis of it, because that's what he is. The best Death Jester model they could ever make. That's what he is. And yeah, unfortunately, I think he's still a bit of a miss.
Yeah, it is just another shooter. And you're probably right on that, because the Eldari are not going to be short on units that can shoot.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And you don't want to make like one unit super expensive. Like you don't want to give your opponent, this is the obvious thing to go nuts on. This is the obvious thing you want to dunk and use all your abilities onto. You want to kind of make them wonder and ponder.
Oh, my friend, there will be a unit that is obvious the one that you want to kill, but you're going to have a hard time finding it.
Yeah, so, no. Yeah, yeah.
Getting
you're going to luck it down.
Yeah, yeah, for things. And, you know, of course, we'll get to some of that too, because I do think the Shining Spears are going to, like, it's going to be another standout unit.
Estia.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. The three best units, in my opinion, if I was just going to say three, Wind Riders, Shining Spears, Dark Reapers. These are things. And then, I mean, you take the Guardians, Dire Avengers, and utility units of your desire. But those three units are like the mainstay damage dealing aspects of this army, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's at least going to be the initial go of things.
Yeah.
Agreed there. Going into the Aspect Warriors, you know, the Aspect Warriors... them and the shrine tokens that come, like those extra little models, they are tokens that you use throughout the game. You, for every 5 of them, you get another shrine token. And like, as a, for instance, for the Dire Avengers, once per battle for each aspect shrine token this unit has, you can change the result of one hit roll or wound roll made for that model in this unit to an unmodified 6. And those are the types of things you with that. And you burn one of the tokens. That's one of the little things that little shrine token comes with that you put on the base. It just kind of hangs out. And then remove it when you've used the ability. So it goes away.
Yep. I like it. It's cute. There are some abilities that get a bit more juice out of this. Like there are some, there are some profiles that get a bit more juice out of this. So the, you know, once again, come back to Dark Reapers. The missile launcher that they have, the Reaper launcher or the missile launcher, whichever one you decide to take or kind of, yeah, whichever. You know, it's only strength 10 on both those profiles, and you will have times where you need to crack toughness 11. And so just having two opportunities to flip sixes, because you have two tokens on a 10 model unit, it's just a powerful thing to have. Just a little bit of assurancy. The one where it's crazy good is Fire Dragons, of course, where you just have the ability to guarantee wounds go through. Of course, you have hit roll and wound roll and damage roll rerolls, but don't chance it. Do not chance, you know, wounding on 5. You just flip 2 sixes, make sure that transport dies so you can get to the contents. That kind of stuff is very potent.
Fire Dragons are pretty good. I would imagine that in the current meta, we see some Fire Dragons.
I ran Fire Dragons. I think they're quite good still.
I mean, you saw what old Fugin does to him, right?
Yeah, I was simply trying to dodge Fugin. He's mostly the same, but oh god, he's so good.
Increasing the range of melted weapons by 6 inches, including his own, it's kind of a big deal.
Oh, the fire pipe.
It means that the fire pipe, which is 18-inch range, will proc Melter from reserve, being 9 inches away. So you'll have the one Firepike hit, and then, of course, the rest of the the fusion guns that will, you know, be 18-inch range, but they won't be in melter range. But then you just have guaranteed sixes to flip on Fuegan's attacks and the Fire Pike's attacks to guarantee you get those melter shots through, which is very potent.
So melter, you know, and now it's mostly, in my opinion, kind of relegated to like really burning down elite infantry.
Correct.
Because of the strength, like because of the strength and toughness, and, you know, we've broken the toughness 10, you know, the 10 stat cap, you know, several years ago.
This still bothers me that the strength is such a downside to melter weapons.
Well, you know, the Fire Dragons have a way around this.
No, they just need to go into the next balanced data slate and say, if you're in melter range, you freaking wound on fours. You've got anti-vehicle 4+ in melter range.
In your shooting phase, this is assured destruction. In your shooting phase, each time a modelless unit makes a ranged attack that targets a monster or vehicle unit, you can reroll the hit roll, you can reroll the wound roll, and you can reroll the damage.
That's
correct. So coming out of a Falcon 9 inches away with Fuegan and Fugan. Which one is it, guys?
It is. I say Fugan, but I believe it to be Fuegan.
It's Fugan. To be on theme Fugan. With Mugen. It's Fugan.
Baharuth, Fugan, Mugen, Asuman. You know.
Yeah, Asuman. Yeah. You will just disembark with you know, with Fugan and Fire Dragons, and pretty much guarantee any transport death, and or you will maul any single unit of elite infantry. Like, it's actually a very, very good combination. And then, of course, you still got to kill Fugan.
I think he's got the two range piles. I don't think that's a change.
I don't think that's changed either. One of them's heavy flamer, yeah? And then one of them's the super fire pike?
No.
Oh, yes.
He's got a beam version that is assault, melta 1, sustained hits 2, 12 inches, now 18 inches, 3 attacks. It's like a normal melta. Sort of strength 8, AP minus 3. It's only D2. And then he's got a lance, which is assault melta 6.
He has that now.
Yeah. Same thing. It's right? The same. No change. Yeah. But still, that's not bad.
It's really good. Still gets back up on death on a 2+. He's extremely frustrating. I hate him. He hates it.
He does have the gem that gets it back up on a 2+, which is. Yeah. Some was taken previously just for that ability, but now I think we'll see to maybe more.
Well, so the Phoenix Gem was an enhancement that you could take on usually people take on the Autarch with wings. Now that's in a different attachment to the one I think people are going to take, which means that Fugan is better, in my opinion. He's probably the only thing you're going to consistently see in your army that's going to get back up on death, which means I think he's going to be taken more often.
Yeah. You brought up, go and jump into the Howling Banshees. I think we will see Aspect Warriors taken with their Phoenix Lord more frequently than we have in the past. And Howling Banshees, you know, they get the rule the unit is eligible to declare a charge in a turn in which it fell, advanced or fell back. Jane Zarr buffs that advance, you know, so
correct,
but does not have the acrobatic rule herself.
I think it's going to be cool. I think you're right.
Yeah.
They've done aspect detachment, a bunch of aspects all with their Phoenix Lords. Could be really cool. Throw in the Avatar. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I love it so much. I mean, there's going to be a line that you need to walk where you don't spend 1,000 points on the Avatar and Phoenix Lords, but you know.
Maybe. I don't understand.
Does not compute. We need to talk about Shining Spears. So Shining Spears are, in my opinion, the only this unit can do everything unit in the book, I think.
Let me start with the stat line. Move 14.
That doesn't need. Sorry.
So move 14. Remember that you know all the pluses and twos and you know things like that. The move sevens after you killed something. You know, blah blah blah. But move 14. 3+ save with a 5+ invulnerable save base. You can bump the Exarch up to a 4+. 2 wounds apiece. OC2. That's their base stat line.
Yep. Each one comes with a laser lance and twin shuriken catapult. The laser lance shoots at 6-inch range with 6-2-3, so 3 damage there. And, of course, the shuriken catapult is exactly what you think it is. But then the laser lance in combat is anti-monster, anti-vehicle 3+, 5-2-3. So just a crazy amount of damage 3 coming out of this with 3 attacks each. But it gets better because the star lance is just one of and they also have lance on their lances, obviously.
Yeah.
The Star Lance is anti-monster, anti-vehicle 3+, with lance and an extra AP with 4 attacks.
So just the Exarch gets the Star Lance on that. You can either go with the Paragon Saber, which is 6 attacks, damage 2, strength 5, neg 2. Mm. I don't think you should do that. I think you should go with the Star Lance on this. Same. Because just like a bevy of special rules, anti-monster, anti-vehicle, and lance, well, and 3 damage is huge.
3 of these guys has 10 attacks that are anti-monster, anti-vehicle, 3 plus, or strength 5 lance at AP 2, AP 3, 3 damage, with 3 shots at 6, 2, 3 before they go in. Like, it is wildly good. This unit is incredibly good at everything. But wait, there's more. extreme mobility. That is the correct way to describe this. Each time this unit makes a normal advance, fallback, or charge move, ignore any or all vertical distance when determining the distance this unit can be moved. This is the problem. And all the best bit, because you know, everyone has to, you know, measure to go up and over terrain features if they can't go through them. Oh, these guys just move in straight freaking lines. The only thing that they'll need to judge is that they can't, you know, finish on top of characters. Finish on top of models. But
they do still have the larger clear bases. Like, they're on the 50 bases. Mil bases.
But the fact that this is the one unit, I think, in the army that moves exceptionally fast, can get kills in shooting and fighting in the same turn, because there's actually very few units in Eldari that do that. And the fact that they ignore all modifiers and they ignore all the movement stuff that would usually be a downside to a mounted unit.
So 18 inches is just 18 inches, like that kind of stuff. You know, that's like you don't have to go up and measure, you know, to the wall and go over.
Okay, I'll just describe one disgusting combo you can. And by disgusting, I mean it's very good. You can use the +2 move battle focus ability. So they move 16 base. You expend 1 CP to give them advance and charge. And let's say you roll average, so which is a 3. So you'll go 19 inches. You still shoot. So you kill a unit, you charge, you kill another unit, you spend another CP, now that you've killed that unit, and you move 7 inch.
Or consolidate 6 inches into something else.
Into something else. And then when they try and fall back from you, you expend another battle focus point and you move D6+1 or D6+. Yeah. So this unit is going to be a problem. It's going to be very hard to lock down. And the way to beat it is to go and kill it. It's just to run at it and kill it.
There's so much thing never guard at it.
Yeah, or Overwatch it. These are the two ways to do it. But of course, there's ways to ignore Overwatch. But this unit is extremely good, and the days of us fearing the uninteractable Shining Spears may be returning. But good news is they can no longer have the gigantic units. It's 3 or 6.
But you can have more than one unit. I think they're going to be on the pricey side. So you are paying a bit of a premium for them. And there are no like Phoenix Lords to go in them, so they're only
going to be... Thank God.
Well, yeah, there's no Autarchs on bikes or anything to give.
Correct. Zero character support.
But they're pretty stout, though. I don't know that they need it. I think that between your army's rules and whatever detachment you've got and the battle focus and then their base stat line, this is going to be a very powerful unit.
Do you see all these hearts around me?
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to live in my heart, because I want these things shot out of a cannon into the sun immediately. I hate the idea of this.
The synergy from Farseers and like the ability to like pick a unit and make it better or a target. Yeah. You know, there's going to be some ways that these can be buffed. That's really going to put them out there.
Well, the thing is, like, against a lot of units, they don't need that many buffs, but you're exactly right. If you do need to go higher and deeper into to make these guys, you know, output more significant, you can. I just think they are the catch-all platform for all the new abilities and strategies.
It's a nice deployment zone you got there, Camilleri. It'd be a shame if something happened to it.
Well, mate, even if I am playing guard, you know what I'm doing against your Windriders? Everything's on the line. Move, move, move. I'll just charge all your stuff. That's the best I got. It's the best I got, baby.
It is. It's a good unit, and people, if they had them from before, are going to really enjoy breaking them back off the shelf, and they're going to be, you're playing Eldari, I would imagine, even in detachments that don't really get to buff them, just them and Battle Focus is probably strong enough.
They are Aspect Warriors. Do they have Aspect Warrior keyword? They are.
They are. They are Aspect Warriors.
You take them in the Aspect Host, no problems. They still get real ones. Yeah.
If you're not taming the Windriders, you could take them in, you know, any detachment you want to play. I think they're almost at that Ottoman clear, which puts them on the radar, you know, I would imagine. Fact watch.
Wait and see the points. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Wait and see the points. I'm hoping they're like just 3,000 points and you can't take any of them.
I think you pay for it, but it's still worth it. I think it's worth one unit you're going to want.
Absolutely worth it. Absolutely.
I know there's a bunch of units in here to talk about, and we're kind of running short on time for this episode. Keep your eyes peeled in the show notes for the stuff we talked about the previous week. But here I want to talk about a couple more things, if y'all will indulge me. Warwalkers.
Old yay. Faithful. They lost their minus one to wound. Still good. It was so obnoxiously hard to kill for their points.
Yeah, the crystal targeting.
Extremely important.
Each time a friendly Eldari unit makes an attack that targets the enemy unit that you've hit with with this thing, improve the armor penetration characteristic of that attack by one. Incredible. Each unit can only be selected for the civilian return. So, you know, two or three single Warwalkers hit some stuff.
They still scout. They scout nine, no problems. So you get some turn one angles if you really want to. Plus one AP for the rest of your army is spectacular.
The Wind Riders, which we talked a lot about, the detachment they might be able to benefit most from, but they have the Swift Demise. Each time a model in this range attack reroll a hit roll of one, if it targets if the target of that attack is the closest eligible target, you reroll a hit roll instead. Extremely reliable for a army. For any number of models can have their twin shuriken catapult replaced by one of the following: one scatter laser or one shin cannon.
And you are going to replace it every time.
Yes.
Now it is already hotly debated in some places where people have had a look at some of these things, people on NDAs also, about what is better, scatter lasers or shuriken cannons. So scatter lasers is six shots at 5-0-1 at 36 inch range with sustained hits one, acknowledging you will have rerolls to hit a lot of the time. And then a shuriken cannon had lethal hits, but only 24 inch range, three shots at 6-1-2. What do we think, guys?
My bikes are currently modeled with shuriken cannons because I've always been a believer of the shuriken cannons.
No one's going to lift up your bikes and tell you off. That only happens to Space Marines, I got to tell you.
But I believe that the scatter laser is probably going to be the one that wins out.
Considering the Wind Rider host, I think the number that a lot of us have come to is four units of six Wind Riders, because, of course, they're only 3-6 now, which, thank God. If there were units of nine or more, they'd be borderline on a game ender unit. The fact that you can have 36 shots that reroll to hit with sustained hits, and with all the buffs put together, you can make them strength 5, AP 2, ignores cover with 36 shots rerolling to hit with sustained hits. That is the, cool, everything's good. Oh, yeah, and 1 CP rerolls to wound, just in case you forgot, if it's a unit that arrived from reserve that turn. I do think there is a case, and there will be metas where shuriken cannons are better, but I would...
And lethal hits.
Exactly right.
You know?
Yeah. With reroll to hit and lethal hits, I think there is a meta coming where shuriken cannons will be better, but I'd start with the scatter lasers until informed otherwise. The 36 inch range is really good as well.
Yep. Oh my goodness. The support platforms, as we mentioned, you can join Guardian Defenders, which is, I think there's some play there. I don't know how good it is yet, but it's something that you can do that you could not do before. And so I think that might be pretty cool.
Next up is the Rangers, but we need to pull one out for Illic Nightspear, who is not in this book.
When did he show up in 8th edition? It wasn't very far. Maybe 7th.
He's been around for a while, right? Because I think that didn't he have a metal bottle?
No. And if it was, I mean, he vanished for a little bit and then showed up again later. I don't think he was in there consistently. So I'm more surprised about Uriel falling off, but there's the Corsairs and the Void Scarred, which don't seem bad. They're the Corsairs are battle line. Both have scout 7, so they're kind of in that weird space of being midfield objective grabbers that can get in there. But like any of the kill team stuff, they've got cool weapon loadouts and stuff, but they're not there's not a Corsair detachment, but they still have some play, I'm sure.
Touching on the Rangers, though, with the Infiltrators and Stealth and the Battle Focus key, and then the Path the Outcast, once per turn, when an enemy unit ends a normal move, advance or fallback move, and then 9 of this unit, it can make a normal move of up to d6 inches. So
nice.
Boosting out of there. But anytime you can take a full unit of things with precision, damage to precision, I think you've got to kind of pay attention to that.
It's good, like Death Marks and whatnot. Yeah, for sure.
Shroud Runners, I think we'll see some of those.
They're your Yeah, they're your access to Ignore's cover. So they are part of all the combos with so between the Warwalker and Shroud Runners, you get plus one AP and Ignore's cover for the rest of your army on demand. And I think that's two very important things to add to your army. I think the Shroud Runners are very good as well. Scout 9 with stealth, 3 wounds, and 5 up invuln, or 5 up armor, well, 5 up invuln, because it's a 5 up armor save, so it's a 5 up invuln save.
I'm currently debating how many units of these, like 1 or 2 units. That's what I'm currently debating.
I think 2. I like 2. We'll wait and
I
see.
Do like 2, but like, points. Man, there's so many toys, you know, it's like you're gonna be, you know, kind of strapped. But Vipers, I think Vipers will also make a big appearance in list for the harassment fire. In your shooting phase, after this unit has shot, select one enemy unit hit by one or more of those attacks. Until the start of your next turn, the enemy unit is suppressed. While the unit is suppressed, each time the model in that unit makes an attack, subtract one from the hit roll. That's just until the start of your next turn, the enemy is minus one to hit.
That's pretty good.
So for a model that historically not a ton of points, has a 14-inch move, you can put a decent gun on it. You know, maybe we see some Vipers.
Oh, yeah.
Appearances. Wraith Blades and Wraith Guard, you know, function very similarly, but they are capped at 5. Their squad, there's that. And then,
it's interesting to note, you know, Spirit Seers don't attach to the squads. They get lone operative if they're nearby.
Yeah.
And so it's not like a pure attachment leader ability. They're just nearby. And then the Wraith Guard and the Wraith Blades benefit from a not necessarily just a Spirit Seer, but a Eldar Psyker being within X distance to give them the buffs that kind of play into that. So it's just, you know, there's a different way in which you manage the units if that's the direction you're leaning. It doesn't build in the same way.
That's a great point. And you also, I'm glad you brought up kind of the leader aspect of it too, because in like the day one FAQ, there'll be more options for how you can attach characters to units. So I think you can kind of build out some things, sure. You know, as that's based fair. On your own benefit. And, you know, maybe we'll close out with this, is that the Wraith Knight is not busted, I don't think, which is something probably people are going to be excited about.
Yeah, they balanced it with two different versions, so that was pretty interesting.
Yes, yeah. I think the Wraith Knight is actually kind of good without being broken. Like, it's only ever been overpowered or untakeable. So I think they may have got the Wraith Knight right this time.
Look, we'll see. There's a lot to unpack with this codex, and have fun talking about it, have fun playing with it. I'm really looking forward to getting some of this stuff on the table. I think we are out of time for this episode, though. And seriously, appreciate y'all hanging in with us a little bit longer. Appreciate your patience with us for last week. This one will hopefully be out right when it's able to. Check us out on YouTube. Check us on the podcast aggregators. Have not already. It's been a pleasure talking about this.
Always is.
See y'all next week, everybody.
See ya.
Boy.
Bye, everybody.
Our craft worlds are sentient beings. These hosts are not. Better luck next time, monkeys!